Safe and familiar.
Home sees the crossroads you're facing
and welcomes you
no matter where you've been.
Home is where you can just be you
and take a deep breath
and be still
and silent.
Home is the presence of Jesus.
And that's why we believe today you are home right now.
Because as we gather, we are confident that Jesus is here too.
We are all trying to find our way back home.
A home not formed by bricks, walls, chairs, or lights.
But rather, a home made of imperfect people.
Loving one another.
Heading towards a common goal.
And it doesn't matter how far you've wandered.
Or how lost you may have become.
God is waiting with his arms wide open
to welcome you home.
This is what we believe today.
God is in our midst. And you belong here in this place with this family.
No strings attached.
And there is room here for you.
Today.
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 You are home.
You are home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Good morning. Welcome to Crossroads Baptist Church. It's so great to see all of you. We got a full house today. Got some new faces in the room. If you're a first-time guest today, you're our honored guest, and we're glad you're here. Please stop by our welcome table before you leave so we can get to know you a little bit better, and we've got a gift for you. But we're going to kick things off with a little bit of worship this morning. So let's all stand. We're going to sing this song together. Christ be magnified. Let's lift up our voices to Him.
From the Lord to sound.
there's just something that cries out within us, those of us who've met and experienced and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes us want to sing out and praise Him. It's like the Holy Spirit just won't sit still. You know, there are those of you in this room, and we've talked, and you've shared your story with me, that you were in a place of guilt. You were in a place of maybe addiction, some even coming from abuse, doubt, uncertainty. But God delivered you from those things.
Yes.
You're living a completely different life. You're a completely new person because of His grace. Because He broke those chains and gave you new freedom. So if you're in this room and you're looking around wondering, what is everybody excited about? That's what we're excited about.
Yeah. Come on.
Let's continue in that same spirit of worship with this song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Let's lift our voices again. seated. I'm going to ask Brother Scott Dameron to make his way up here and just pray for us today. We've got a special song coming up for you right after this. Brother Scott, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, blessed is your name, Father God. We are truly blessed to come into your house this morning and worship you, Father God. You are so worthy of our praises and much more. Lord God, we thank you for your unending mercies and grace that you give us new and each every day. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son, Father God, to give us that grace, Lord, eternal life. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll be with Pastor Heath as he stands up here this morning, brings your message, Father God. Just give him the power and strength of one high. Lord God, let his words be your words. And I pray, Father God, your words would touch our heart and we'd have open minds and open ears. Lord God, your word would change us, Father God. There's power in your word. And I pray for this event this afternoon, Father God, as there are many children and parents that's coming here this afternoon, Father God, that don't know you, that don't have a saving relationship with you, that don't have a church. And I pray, Father God, they would just feel the love of Christ. Lord God, you would draw them close to you, Father God. And we just thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Brother Robert and Miss Dina Turner have a special song for you this morning entitled, He Is There. It'll bless your heart.
He is there to comfort. Why do we serve? It's because God calls us to love our neighbor. Because faith was never meant to stay within the walls of a building. And because Jesus is our example and leader. We serve because God has given us gifts, not simply to enjoy, but to use for His kingdom. Because it deepens our faith and draws us closer to Christ. And because all of us have been blessed by the service of others. Serving is love in motion, an act of worship and sacrifice. A humble gift given freely. We serve to help our community, to share the hope and joy that we found. And in turn, we strengthen and build the church. Because the mission matters. Because the world needs Jesus. And we are His hands and feet. That is why we serve.
Amen. What a great reminder to us, especially on the day of Family Fun Fest, why we're doing this, to serve our community and show others the love of Jesus. We're going to sing one more song, so I'm going to ask you to stand. But I want to read you the opening lyrics of this song. Many of you have heard it, and we've sung it here before. It was written in 2022 by Chris Tomlin. It's called Holy Forever. It says, a thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Guys, can you imagine that moment? That moment that our Bible tells us about is coming, when the same Jesus that we've been reading about and hearing about, that we sang about this morning, the same Jesus that we pray in His name, we are going to stand before Him, and we're going to see Him face to face, and we're going to get to lift our voices with all the believers from every generation, yes, past, present, and future, yes, and praise His name and worship Him together. What a moment that is going to be. Can we sing about that this morning with this song as we worship Him? Holy Forever.
holy is his name. You can be seated. Go ahead and grab your Bibles this morning as Pastor comes to share the Word of God.
I'm thankful that we serve a God who is greater and higher and holier than us. And love those great reminders this morning. Aren't you glad that we get to come to a church where it's not about all the frills and fluff and all the stuff, you know, all the decor. And I'm glad that we have a church we get to come to every single week that we have one focus, church. It's one, and it's lifting up his name. Not our name, his name. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be in the church. That's the way it should be at every church, where we lift up his name supremely. You know, we could talk about Family Fun Fest, and we could talk about groups, or we could talk about songs and different things. And all those things are good in their rightful place, but there's still only one name above every name. And it's his name. And it's not our name. It's not the name that's on the sign. It's the one that we came to worship today. And I hope that when you leave, you know that. That this is a place where we're not talking about, you know, how good the groups are, or how good the staff is, how good the preacher is. None of those things. All those things are going to fade. Every single one of those things are going to fade away. But his name remains. And so we want to lift up his name today. And I hope you're ready to worship even in the passage of scripture we're going to look at today. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4 is where we're going to be this morning. And as you're turning there, just draw attention. We've got some friends in the room today visiting us from New Jersey. And Pastor Brad's been a dear friend of ours from New Jersey for several years. He and Miss Katie and their families here. And we've got Miss Amanda Jesters here, our social media director. Yeah. Yeah, and her mom and dad are here, and so glad that they're all the way in from Kentucky, bluegrass state, and I just detest bluegrass music. So love people who live in Kentucky, just detest the music, and we've been asked several times, when are we going to have a banjo? The next pastor can talk about that, not this one. But praise the Lord. Anyhow, 1 Peter chapter 4, have you ever had a situation, I am looking at Wednesday night's message. Let's not do that message. Let's pull up today's message. All right. I was like, why does it have a different title? But yeah, you think about, we've been talking about Three to Thrive the last several weeks. Three to Thrive, our brand new series on Sunday mornings. And Three to Thrive, dealing specifically with what it means to thrive in the Christian life. And how do we thrive? What are some of the common core elements of the Christian life where we can experience this thriving journey with Jesus? Remember, we looked at the comments of Jesus to Mary and Martha in Luke chapter number 10, and he emphasized the importance of having a personal time every single day with him, spending time, making sure we're focused on his word, developing as Christians, drawing closer to him as he desires of us, allowing him to speak into our lives without distraction around us. Then last week, we talked about the importance of being present in church. Remember, it's sit, serve, share. Three to Thrive, sit, serve, share. They have to start with the letter S and all the same letter because it's Crossroads. But we talked about sitting last week and the importance of being in church, allowing the church not just to be a part of our lives, but allowing us to impact our lives from day to day and week to week. Remember, if you remember the illustration of the gym and going to the gym, Austin sitting over here. Remember going to the gym and thinking about how we go to the gym and we allow the gym one of two things. We can either use the gym as an excuse to say, well, I'm going to eat whatever I want to because I went to the gym, or, which is my mentality, we can allow the gym to impact the decisions we make. Because I worked out, I'm going to stay away from those things. Because I worked out, I'm not going to eat that. Because I worked out, it's going to change my methodology and my thinking process. I'm not going to do some things because I worked out. We allow the gym to change our thought process. And we should do the same thing with church. Because of what God showed me this past week, because of what I experienced in his presence this past week, I'm going to allow that to change me from day to day. But it's something just to be said on Sunday. We've got to live it out Monday through Saturday. We've got to take it with us. But how do we do that? We do that when we continue to meditate on the passage every single day that we were exposed to that past Sunday. When we continue to ask ourselves every single day, am I applying God's truth to my life? Not just hearing it, but am I applying it? When I'm sharing it with someone who may need it at work or one of my co-workers, my neighbors, my friends, my family, when I'm sharing that, I'm allowing the church to go with me. But is that your life? Is that the way that you live Monday through Saturday? Today, we're going to talk about serving in our series. And what does it mean? If you were to define serving the Lord, if somebody said, are you serving the Lord? How would you define that? Most of us would say, yeah, I come to church. I'm serving the Lord. But that's not what we see in 1 Peter chapter 4. That's not the passage of Scripture. Peter has been telling these Christians, these new believers, how that Jesus suffered on their behalf. How that he's coming one day to receive them to himself, to judge them for their works in Christ. And that they should be walking with him in this new life, have a new fervor every single day to pursue him. But how he puts that in context and contrasts that to the service of the Lord is how we see this today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. Verse number 7 is where we're going to be. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore, because of that, because of what we've just seen, be therefore sober, be alert, be attentive, be aware of your surroundings, be aware, be in control, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity. Now, I could have just said charity. Have love among yourselves. Love each other. Have a Christ-like love, an example. But he says fervent charity. That means an awareness. That means a constant, consistent, active love among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. See, there it is right there. The reason we do what we do is not for our glory, it's for his. But how do we apply that to our lives today? Let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how we're encouraged, Lord, that you are holy forever. Your name is the highest. Lord, stands above them all. You are holy forever. Lord, you are the one that we proclaim. It's your goodness, not our own. Lord, as we said last week, you are our hope in life and death. Lord, it's not our glory we're here to discuss. Lord, it's your grace. Christ be magnified. Lord, we want to exalt you today. Lord, please receive our worship this morning and everything that's said and done. Please receive the glory. And Lord, we ask that you please draw us close to you. Lord, if there's any unconfessed sin in my heart, my life, please cleanse me, forgive me, help me to be clean this morning. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, please draw them to yourself to saving grace this morning. And Lord, for the rest of us who are in Christ, Lord, help us to take a step to draw closer to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write down some of the things that Peter's talking about. The first thing he mentions is our mentality. Our mentality. You know, the Greek word for end here in verse number 7 is never used as a chronological end of all things, like the end of a story. And so when we see the mentality that he had, Jesus has already told them several things. The first church believers thought that Jesus was returning in their lifetime. And they thought that, man, he's going to heaven. He's coming back next week, so we got to get busy. We got to be active about this thing. But when was he coming? He didn't tell them that. He said, no one knows. I don't even know, guys, when my Father in heaven wants me to come back. He knows, but he hasn't told me yet. And when he tells me, I'm coming. There will be no delay. There will be no warning shots for us to be able to prepare. We've got to be ready every single day. The day is at hand. We're drawing near to his return. But Peter, as he's writing, Peter knew that he wouldn't see that. He knew that he wouldn't see the Lord in his return. He had already been told by Jesus in John chapter 22 that he was going to die for the gospel. So Peter knows, I'm telling these people something that I won't be able to witness for myself. But Peter says, I want to emphasize the urgency of the day. And he talks about the timing of our service. The timing. In verse 7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. I already mentioned the word end is not our definition of the word end. We think the completion, the finish line, the end of a race. But that's not the meaning here. It means that a goal has been achieved. The consummation of a thought has taken place. You know, if you were to see a picture like the one that's on the screen, some of you know what that is. Yes, right. Some of you are excited, all right? I won't have you give up if you're going to come as a Star Wars character, but tonight for Fun Fest or for Halloween. But think about this story. This is the end scene of episode 4 of Star Wars. You're like, Pastor, is there 4 episodes? Oh, we need to talk after church. But if you know the movie and you know this scene, I'll ask a simple question. Is this the end of the story? No, not on your life, okay? We don't even know. If you go to the next one, the next picture, is this. This is the end of episode 5. Pastor, are there 5? We still need to talk after church. But is this the end of the story? No. You know, we know now that I am your father. No. You know, we know at that. This is billed one of the greatest movies of all time, Empire Strikes Back, in case you were just wondering. And not Star Wars as a whole. We already know that. That's done, you know. But Empire Strikes Back is an amazing, amazing movie. But if you see these pictures, you know there's more to it. There's more to the story than what we see at the end of each of these movies. There's more to come. Think about Revelation chapter 4 in verse number 1. That's the verse in the book of Revelation that we tie back to the rapture of the church. When John says, I heard a voice from heaven. And the voice that he heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now think about it like this. Can you imagine if we read up to Revelation chapter 4 verse 1? And right after verse 1, it said, the end. What? There's got to be more. He just said that he's going up to heaven and he's going to see some more things that are happening after this. It wasn't the end as we know it. It wasn't the end of life. It wasn't the end of all things. The end is still coming. The story still continues on. So when we get to Revelation, the end means there's a new day coming with Christ. It's not the end as we think, but it's the end of that chapter. It's the end of that part of the story. It's the consummation. And because of that, when Peter says in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand, he says, be therefore sober. Because there is another part of the story that's coming, be sober, be alert, be serious, be focused. And he says, because our prayers matter during this time. Look at verse 7 again. He says, watch unto prayer. He literally is saying, make sure that you pray important prayers during this time. Knowing the end is coming. If you're not alert, if we're not sober-minded during this time period we're living right in, how can our prayers be effective if we're not praying with the end in sight? How can our prayers make an impact if we don't pray in a way that brings honor to Him? Paul said it in another passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6, ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So right out of the gate this morning, I want you to think about your current prayer time that you have with the Lord. Not the prayer time, now I lay me down to sleep. Not the, Lord, please bless this food. I'm talking about your current prayer time. Do you pray, when you pray, does your prayer time lead with the end in sight? Does your prayer time think about, hey, I've only got so much time left? Does your prayer time emphasize the fact that the end is coming and it's drawing near? Do we think about the end when we pray? Yeah, what would you pray for if you knew today was it? If you knew today was the last day on planet Earth, would that affect your prayer life? Would that affect your time with the Lord in prayer? See, our timing matters. The time that we have left matters. We are in an urgent day, and we need to pray that way. Yeah. Martin Luther said it like this: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. If you name the name of Christ, we're to be praying people. More than just, Lord, bless my day. More than just, Lord, bless this food. Lord, more than just, Lord, just bless everything. Specific prayers get specific answers. And if you don't pray specifically, how will you know when God's answering your prayers? Lord, bless me today. How do you know? When he does, how will you define that? Soren Kierkegaard said, the function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. Let me ask you this. Are you praying for areas of ministry to serve in? Are you praying saying, Lord, if you show me what to do, I'll do it. Lord, if you show me where to serve, I'll do it. This is the urgency of the hour. We don't have a lot of time left, church. We are running out of time. The timing of our service matters. But not only that, we see number two, the testimony of our spirit matters. Look at verse number 8. And above all things. Now, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we would say are important. But Peter says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. This is the primary emotional response of every believer, to love each other. Amen. To love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is primary. But why is it necessary? Why is it necessary that we love each other? You know why? Because it is easy for us to look at other people's sins and say, I don't want to serve them. Yeah. Why would I serve them? I know how they act. Why would I want to serve my spouse because of how they treat me? Why would I want to serve my boss because how they pile on and I never get credit? Why would I want to serve my kids? They don't do what I say. Why would I want to serve my neighbors? They don't even love God. Why would I want to serve somebody else at church? Because they sleep during the service. Why would I do that? Well, there's a really easy answer. Because God said to. I mean, do we need a greater reason than that? Well, you know, it makes you feel good. God said so. God said to. Think about Jesus' words. Here's our example. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 70, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Judas walked along with Jesus, ministered alongside Jesus, never accepted Jesus, and yet Jesus washed Judas's feet along with all the other disciples in the upper room the night before he died. Think about 1 Samuel 18, 10 and 11. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David, here he is, King David, played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. This is an attempted murder right here. Of Saul for David. And David avoided out of his presence not once, twice. That means that David ran and came back. We would look at that and say, what a dummy. You try to kill me. We're no longer friends. We're not having dinner. We're not going to Mi Rancho anymore. It's not going to happen. We're done. Think about Moses in Exodus 32, 31 and 32. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. In every single one of these examples, each one of these people continued to serve those who they knew were against them. Why? Because in each of these examples, these people loved the people they were serving. Jesus loved Judas. David loved Saul. Moses loved the children of Israel. In love, serve one another. You know why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks faults. Pastor, why should I serve the Lord? Because Jesus loves you, and he loves me. And we're wicked. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not that bad. That means you're not that good. And yet Jesus loves us. We serve him because of his love for us. That's how you and I have to serve others, with love. C.S. Lewis said, he loved us not because we're lovable, but because he is love. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, in math, if you divide an infinite number by any number, no matter how large, you still have an infinite quotient. So Jesus' love, being infinite, even though it's divided up for every person on earth, is still infinitely poured out on each one of us. He loves us. Think about Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. You know, when I fall in love with God's word, it reminds me how much he loves me. And in turn, it compels me to love others the way that he loves me. When I spend time in his word sitting, it compels me to be serving. That's the importance of sitting at Jesus' feet. That's the importance of spending time with him every single day, because he loves me. And the more I spend time with Jesus, and the deeper that love grows,
Amen.
The deeper that love grows, you can't help but serve him.
Amen.
You can't help but live that out.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to serve the Lord. Lovingly, as your friend, I would ask you, do you even love the Lord? Because if you love the Lord, you've expounded and you've experienced the depth of his love for you, you can't help but serve him. Because knowing what he has done for us, for all he's done, for what he's done, hey, there is nothing holding us back but us. There's a mentality in Christian love. But then not only our mentality, number two, we see our ministry in verse 9 and 10. Now we're going to see the opposite of serving with the right motivation. It is possible to serve the Lord without the right spirit. You understand that? Welcome to church. Isn't God good? We're so glad you're here. Don't go to sleep. I mean, it's literally. But think about our ministry. You know, it's possible to serve the Lord without the right attitude, but that's not advised. Look at verse number 9. We see the risk involved of serving the Lord. Use hospitality one to another. Here it is. Without grudging. Use hospitality. There are a lot of hospitable people. We know hospitable people. You could probably point to people who are hospitable that you know. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. Now, think about this. Put yourself in their shoes. There are risks involved serving the Lord, but put yourself in their culture. All right, Peter is saying, be hospitable, show Christ-like love to complete strangers. Think about who is ruling at this time period. Nero is on the throne. He is looking for every Christian he can to stamp out Christianity. That is his mission in life. That's his goal. So for them to be hospitable and show Christ-like love and share gospel hope with other people, it was dangerous. You invite somebody in your home, you might be inviting the enemy into your home. You had no way of knowing. They would be very skeptical of helping other people. But there is a greater risk involved that Peter emphasizes. He says, without grudging. You know what that means? Without grumbling. I don't know why I have to do this. I don't know why I have to come. I don't know why. Without grudging. Do you know serving people is exhausting? Let me say that again, now that everybody's awake. Serving people is exhausting. Think about one of the spiritual gifts Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know what that simplicity means? With ease. If we're going to be givers, we ought to do it with the right spirit. It ought to be easy for us to give. And when we give to others, we're not expecting thanks. We're not expecting a reward because we're serving the Lord. Think about Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. How do we serve here? At Crossroads. How do we get involved here? We passed out these cool 3 to Thrive cards a couple weeks ago. Several people have turned them in. Several people haven't. Still waiting. But you know, there are places to serve that are not listed on that card. There are a whole bunch of options for people to get involved in service here at Crossroads. There are places, some people have walked up and said, Pastor, where's my ministry? And I said, just write it down. It'll be fine. But several places are not on the card. Do you know there are several ministries that God wants to birth that aren't on the card? Yeah. We came to Crossroads 12 years ago. We didn't have a first responders ministry. When we came to Crossroads 12 years ago, we didn't have a veterans ministry. We came to Crossroads 12 years ago, we didn't have an unlimited special needs ministry. Well, we didn't have a single moms ministry. You know how those ministries got started? Somebody had a burden. Somebody had a burden. And there's people in the room right now, or maybe watching online, and you've got a burden for a ministry that we don't have, and God has already started the ministry in your heart. You should write it down on the card. If you walked up and said, Pastor, God is leading me to do this. I've already had validation. And hey, I'm not going to say, well, you keep praying about it. We'll see what happens. Hey, if God's given you validation, he's put a burden on your heart, go. Go for it. We want that. That's God leading us. But there will always be risk involved when we serve. G. Campbell Morgan said it like this. If you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. You can expect opposition. Do we honestly expect to do things for the Lord and it be easy? Look at the life of Christ. Everywhere he went, he experienced challenges. He expected, he told his disciples, there'll be offending people that come to you, that disrupt you, that bother you. Do we honestly think that it's going to be easier for us than it was the disciples? Than it was Jesus? We can expect hard times. We can expect opposition. But not only were there risks involved, he emphasizes the reward that inspires. Look at verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift that God's laid on our heart, the ministry that God has burdened us about, as we receive the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I want to do something different and not change anything about this verse. I want us to read the verse in reverse. I'm not talking word for word. I'm talking about section for section, okay? Verse number 10 is up on the screen. Good. All right, so here we go. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, even so minister the same one to another as every man hath received the gift. You know what we need before we can serve using our gift? And our burden and living out what God's called us to do. You know what we need? Grace. Grace. So if we look at the end of that verse, as good stewards of the manifold, exceeding, wonderful grace of God, we extend grace first. Why? Because we need grace. And we can't just say, I need grace and I'm not going to give grace. We've got to extend and receive grace as good stewards of it. Each believer has been entrusted with at least one spiritual gift. And Paul mentions that in Romans chapter 12. He mentions several of them. Prophesying, which is sharing God's truth. Serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. But we don't all have the same gifting. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 and 19. Paul told this church, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? He even gives the example of our physical bodies. If all of us were the eye, you know, who would be the hand? If we were all the feet, where would be the smelling and the listening? We're all different members. We're all different parts making up the body of Christ. We all bring something different to the table. But he also says that we're to find out what those gifts are and use them as it pleases the Lord. You might be really good at leadership. Are you using that gift to serve him? You might have the gift of mercy, and you always see the glass half full. Are you serving in the nursery? Because they all need the gift of mercy, you know? I just love you so much, even though I want to strangle you. I love you. We're serving. Imagine if next Sunday, everybody showed up with a message in their Bible to preach. There's only one that's going to get that opportunity. You know that, right? Imagine if next Sunday we showed up and everybody showed up to hand out the sermon handout. Well, you only got so many spots and only so many handouts to give out. Imagine if everyone showed up to play the piano. You know, our three or four pianists would be thankful, but be like, hey, that only going to last so long. But imagine if we all showed up and we came to church, and imagine if we were notes on a piano, all right? If we took our individual gift or our gifting, whatever that may be, we said, I'm one note of a piano. What if we all had the same gift? Brother John gets up and says, all right, let's sing Amazing Grace. All right, and it sounds like this. We're all with the same gift. We've all got our notes. We know what we are. We know what we're supposed to do. We know how we're supposed to function, and we're all the same. Let's sing together, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yeah, wonderful. Kind of boring. All right. What if we had two gifts? All right. There's a group over here, and there's a group over here. I don't know about you, but I like music, and I hear there's supposed to be a third part in there. All right? I hear it. I'm like, something's missing. All right? Yeah, that's good. But here's the thing. There's still a lot of notes that are being left out. And if we all just focus on one or two or three things, there's a lot of notes on this keyboard that are being left out when I just focus on a couple of them. But you know what happens when we show up and we don't play the note that God has given to us, or we say, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to show up and I'm going to do this today and this today and this next week and this, and I have no form, I have nothing to go by, and I don't really care if it pleases the Lord. I'm just going to come and do what I want to do. You know what it sounds like? Nobody wants to hear that. John gets up and says, all right, let's sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to listen to that. Why? Because it has no order. It has no structure. And we serve a God of structure and order. And God has designed you and I to show up at a place every single week and fulfill our function in the body of Christ. Amen. Hey, that's awesome. The fact that God loves us that much, he gives us a place where we can serve. But here's the thing about service. There has to be a certain element before we serve. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. There it is. If I don't have love first, what did Peter say? I've got to have fervent charity. Why? Charity covers a multitude of sins. It starts with love. What did it say? And have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Can you imagine if our music team next Sunday, we all walked in And Chance is like, all right, we got a new instrument, and we got several of them. Nobody's going to play the piano. Nobody's going to play the guitar. Nobody's going to play the keyboard. Nobody's going to do any of that. We got cymbals, y'all. Ready? And there goes people out the back door. Why? Because that is what it's like when we don't start with love. It's got to start within us, guys. It can't be service on the outside, hate on the inside. It's got to be love on the inside, and it works its way outside. So are you using your gifting well? Are you serving in love? What is your gift? What do you enjoy doing? How are you living out your love for the Lord and for others? We see not only the mentality but in the ministry, but we see lastly His majesty. When we get to verse number 10, all of the emphasis, or verse number 11, excuse me, all of the emphasis is on Jesus. Amen. Every bit of it. Our mentality has to begin with a ready mind and love for others. The ministry must be understanding not everybody's going to do what I do. Not everybody's going to love what I love. Not everybody's going to be passionate about what I'm passionate about. Not everybody's going to want to serve in my ministry. And that's okay. It's actually preferred biblically. And I'm not going to allow that lack of love, lack of desire, lack of passion, whatever, dictate how or what I do. So there should only be one reason that we do what we do. In verse number 11, we see our speech that's mentioned. Three things, real quickly. Our speech. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The implication here is aimed at our words, the things that we say, the things that we verbalize, our speech. There are times when we speak, and it's not us that's doing the talking. There are times that you have a conversation with somebody and you walk away and you're like, where did that even come? I don't even know what, did I even think about that? I don't even know where those words came from. Those are not my words. You know why? Because they're God's words. Yeah. We speak as the oracles of God. Remember, Mike, I think about times that we've been preaching and I didn't study it. I didn't read it in a commentary. It's not in the handout. It's not in the notes. It's not on the manuscript. And something hits my brain and out my mouth and it's like, I don't know where that came from, but that was really good. You know why it was really good? Because it was really God. We speak as the oracles of God. You know what that's talking about? We say the things that He wants to say. But here's the difference. It is real easy for us to say the things that He says, but not mean what He says. And that is dangerous ground. We see in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. You know what that means? Adding to God's word what He never intended. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. There's a lot of bad things in this book that I don't want to be a part of my life. How about this? If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Hey, I really don't want to say what I think that means. You better say it. Because if we take away, God shall take away His part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. You want to withhold God's blessing on your life? Mess with God's word. Yeah. It's dangerous ground. Why? It's His. There's only one thing in this entire universe that He exalts above His own name, and it's His word. We don't mess with His word. If He said it, He meant it. If He said it, we don't change it. And if He said it, it stands forever. It's eternal. It's a dangerous thing to take words out of or add to the mouth of God. There's our speech. It's like shooting an arrow from the very bow of God's throne. It's His words, the oracles of God, our speech. Number two, our service. Here's the question from verse number 11. He says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Here's the question. Are you serving with the ability that God's given to you? In short, we would say it like this. Are you doing your best? Now, we all know this. There are some people who will take one of those cards I mentioned, those 3 to 5 cards, and they'll check one box. They'll check 2 boxes. So you know what? That's all I can do. And there are some people, reasonably so, God knows your heart, God knows your situation, your circumstances, and that is your best. And if that is your best, and God knows that, God is pleased with that. But here's the problem, and this is my problem. God knows my best. And God knows when I'm not giving it. And we do too. So if we say, well, you know what, I'm going to withhold, that's dangerous ground too. I'm not guilting anybody this morning. I'm simply saying what God's word says. Are we doing our best? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The way that we're living our life, the way that we're serving, are we doing it for God's glory or for our own? How about this? Ecclesiastes 9:10. Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatever God leads you to do, however you're to serve him, do it with your best in mind. See, I don't want to have to stand before the Lord and him know what I know, that I did 50%. I did half of my best. Oh, Lord, I gave it my 50% shot. And he knows the truth. Hey, that's not good enough. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You might think, well, Pastor, I don't have the strength to serve. I don't have the ability. I don't have the gumption. I don't have the knowledge to serve. Let me challenge you this morning. How about try? How about simply try to serve and watch God empower you to serve? Amen. It's amazing when we take a step of faith that he puts something out there for us to step on. When we don't see, Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step when you don't see the whole staircase. That's what faith is. It's exercising faith in his ability to do what you can't do. There's the speech. There's our service. And then lastly, this morning, there's the spotlight. Look back at verse number 11. We'll end right here. As any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want to say what he would say, serve with all of our ability for this purpose, that he gets the glory. Sinclair Ferguson said it like this: how do we bring glory to God? The Bible's short answer is this: by growing more and more like Jesus Christ. Martin Luther said this: resolved that every man should live to the glory of God. Resolved, second, that whether others do this or not, I will. Hey, how's your resolve this morning? When it comes to how you're living your life for him, how you're serving him today, this morning. Yeah, we might be wrapping up the message this morning, but the service is not over. You know what the next part is? How do we respond to this? How do we answer him? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to you. I don't belong to me. Why? We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, knowing that we're at the end time, knowing the day and hour in which we live, we should have an even greater urgency to serve him. And we should have a greater urgency to encourage others that we may see falling away, so much the more. We ought to want to be here. We ought to want to serve him. That should be a desire of our hearts because of the day that we're living in. And that should not diminish. So this morning, church member, where are you serving? A faithful attender, are you getting involved? Are you taking that next step? Christian, are you honoring the Lord and bringing glory to him in the things that we say and do? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, what would it take for him to prove to you that he loves you and he desires a relationship with you? He sent his only son to die on the cross out of love. And when we see that love, our response is to run to that love. Because he's the only one that loves that way, that much. And when we run to Him, the natural response when we experience His love is to want to do something for Him. Hey, what is your and my response today? Can we pray together this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. You may receive one of those cards on the way out this morning in the lobby if you already have one. I'm prayerfully ask you to consider what you'll do with that. How will you serve the Lord? Whether that's here at Crossroads, whether that's outside the walls, how are you going to serve Him? This morning, how about this? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is your day. God has given you an opportunity to respond to His calling. So this morning, our personal workers are already standing in the back and would love to pray with you, talk to you, encourage you, answer any question. But this is the moment in our service where we respond to God's voice. We want to reflect back on God's word, His drawing, what He said to us, and how do we respond to it? Where do we go from here? What do I do next? What's your next step? And maybe this morning you just need to come to Him and say, Lord, I surrender. I'll serve. You'll take one of those cards and you'll look and say, where can I serve? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Seeing the needs that are there. But you know, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step. Knowing that He loves you and He's done all the work. He died for you so that He can live within you. Hey, do you know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior today? Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sin as your payment? And that if you ask Him to save you and place your faith in Him, He will do what He promised He would do. He'll forgive you. He'll come into your life and show you love that you've never known before. That's who He is. That's what He does. So this morning, where are you at today? What is your spiritual need today? Is it salvation? Is it forgiveness of sin? Or is it something else? What's your next step? Hey, right now in this quiet moment, we're not going to sing. We're just going to reflect on what God has for us today. And can I challenge you, encourage you to say, Lord, what do you want from me today? Well, what are you asking me to do today? If it's your first time here, maybe that's the question that God knew you needed to hear today. What's your next step? If you need to come and pray at the altar, you can do that. If you want to slip out and talk to somebody in the back, you can do that. Or you can pray right there at your seat and ask the Lord to show you, Lord, what do I need to do? Don't think about somebody at the end of the row. Think about the person sitting next to you or who may have ridden in the car with you. What does God want you to do? We're going to take just a quiet moment of reflection. If you need to slide out, speak to someone, you can do that this morning. Right now is your moment. If you need to come and pray, you do that. Or stay right there in your seat. Let's talk to the Lord. Take just a quiet moment, and then we'll close the service in just a moment. Father, we thank You so much for Your love for us. Lord, it's not just something You said, it's something that You proved. And Lord, it's something that You expect Your children to live out in the lives of others. Lord, please help us in Christ-like love to serve, to fulfill our place in Your body. And Lord, I ask that You please help us to do it without grumbling, without complaining, for your glory, because you're the only one who is worthy. We sure do love you. Thank you for proving your love for us so that we may in turn show that love to others. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're getting ready to be dismissed, but right before we do, we're going to end the service a little bit different this morning, and I'm going to ask the music team to go ahead and come back up. We're going to sing to finish the service today. Don't stand up or anything quite yet, but I'm going to ask Rick and Ashley, guys, I know Ashley just sat down. Why don't y'all come right up here, and we're going to have a special time of prayer, and Miss Bunny, if you just want to play whenever you're ready, we're going to have a special time of prayer. Rick and Ashley Steelman came to our church a couple years ago, and I had the privilege of going through discipleship with Rick, and through our discipleship program we have here at Crossroads. Ashley went through with Leah Queen, right? And so Zach's on our music team. His wife went through discipleship. It's kind of an odd but beautiful story woven through tragedy. And God allowed the Steelmans to meet a family in our church, and they were able to invite them, came to church, and Rick got a job transfer, or same company, but is being relocated to Orlando, Florida. Some of you guys are like, lucky. They're moving this coming Saturday. And so we're going to have a special time of prayer for them and praying for them. This is Miss Penelope. Miss Penelope, and they're moving this weekend. So please be in prayer for them as they travel, number one, and then for their family that's here that probably wants to get on the moving truck and move with you. But pray for them as they're traveling, and that God will protect them, be with them, and bless Rick's job as he's transitioning back to Florida. And I'm pretty sure we will see them again at some point in the future. But we want to pray a special prayer of blessing over this dear couple and just kind of send them off right. Okay, so will you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you so much for the Steelmans. Thank you for this dear family and, Lord, the impact that they've made in our lives. Lord, thank you for Rick and Ashley, and thank you for Penelope. Lord, I ask that you please watch over them, guide them, Lord, as they go into this new chapter of their lives. Lord, moving to Florida, and Lord, just please protect them as they travel. Lord, as they're loading up this week, and Lord, saying goodbyes, Lord, I just ask that you please surround them with your grace and your strength. Lord, help them to know that they are following you, that they're following your plan for their lives for this season. And Lord, I ask that you please help the transition to be a minimal disruption. Lord, help them to see this as your guiding, your leading. Lord, please bless their home, bless their marriage. Lord, please bless their family, be with those who are staying here. And Lord, I just ask that you please surround them with your love. Help us as the church, Lord, not to forget about them, Lord, but help us to love them from a distance. And Lord, help us to encourage them, cheer them on as they seek to follow you with whatever that next step may be. We love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to have them a part of our family for this brief period of time. We ask that you please go with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will pray for the Steelman family, will you raise your hand, please? Will you pray for them, make them a part of your prayer time this week? Thank you so much. We love you guys. Praying for you this week. You guys go have a seat. And make sure you let them know today on the way out. Make sure that Ashley has no mascara left when she leaves, and that Rick, even as big as and as bolsterous as he is, that he sheds a tear. Okay, that'd be good. But don't forget, we have Family Fun Fest tonight. Please be in prayer for that. It's going to be a great evening. Next Sunday is Daylight Saving Weekend. Woo! This is the good time change, y'all. The good time change, where we get to fall back and get an extra hour of sleep. The older I get, the more exciting as it is. But don't be one of those people who stays up extra late and like, I get an extra hour. Okay, don't be one of those people. But we're going to stand and sing one final song to lead out of here. It's my favorite song. And so some of you know what we're singing. All right, well, we're going to sing The Goodness of God this morning. So will you stand with us as John and the team lead us through the song? Let's sing.
Amen. Let's lift our voices and praise the Lord together this morning.
I've been held in your hands.
our praise. Let's go out and serve him. You guys are dismissed.